Hello and welcome. I'm Margot de Coatsworth and this is Ask Margot. On this show, we take real questions from you about love, identity, money, healing, decisions, and those stuck places we all find ourselves in sometimes. And we shift them by addressing life on three areas that we are all comprised of: the subconscious, the conscious, and the superconscious. That's how we find the answers and solve the problems. And each episode ends with the word, our message from the universe. I want to share an idea with you that I absolutely love. It's that, I read this recently, you are a perfect idea in divine mind. If nothing else you get from this show of mine, I hope it will always be this concept reinforced. You are a perfect idea in divine mind. If you are short on encouragement and appreciation in your life, then this is a place you will always get that, because my platform for everything we do in life is about our self-perception and our value, our absolute inestimable value that every single one of us has. So if you ever feel very low or very lacking in confidence or very challenged by the stuff of life or the people around you, just say to yourself, I'm a perfect idea in divine mind. A writer I particularly love often says, we each have a right to health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression. I love the thought of that, because quite often we talk about health, wealth, love, happiness, and these days about being true to ourselves. And I really think the idea of perfect self-expression is very important. We have a right to be who we are and to express that. So, welcome to Ask Margot, every one of you who is an idea in divine mind, a perfect idea. Let's begin with our first question today. It's about health and about conceiving a child. This is really interesting. Julia wrote in and said, I can't believe you say there's just one approach. Some things are really bad or really hard. Surely that makes a difference to what we do and what's possible. And she particularly was asking about conceiving a child. In previous episodes, I've talked about telling your body what to do, and I want to refer to a book I read recently, or reread, called The Answer by Alan and Barbara Peace, and the tagline is How to Discover What You Want from Life and Then Make It Happen. In this book, they talk about a part of our brain called the reticular activating system, which is located in the brain stem of mammals. It's a bunch of fibers commonly known as the reticular formation, or the RAS, which plays a part in many important functions in the human biology, including sleeping, waking, breathing, beating of your heart, behavioral motivation. It also contributes to sexual arousal, appetite and eating, body waste, control of consciousness in the ability to bring certain things to your attention. That's really interesting. Trauma to the RAS can cause a coma. So it's kind of a control center and it's important. Then I thought, well, this is the first time I've come across this reticular activating system. So I thought it was worth doing some further independent investigation. And here's what I found. It's kind of science backing up the idea that we attract things. The reticular activating system is a network of neurons located in the brain stem. It acts as a filtering system, sorting the millions of sensory inputs your brain receives every second and deciding what to let through to your conscious awareness. It determines what's important and what can be ignored. You're certainly constantly bombarded with information, sounds, sights, smells, and thoughts, and the RAS decides which of these inputs deserves attention based on what you focus on, what you believe, and what you emotionally invest in. It lets through what matches your internal programming or mental filter. For example, you decide to buy a red car and suddenly red cars are everywhere. They were always there, but now your RAS is showing them to you, allowing that to filter through. It reinforces your cool beliefs, whatever they are, so it looks for evidence to support your current thoughts and assumptions. For example, I never get picked for things. Your RAS highlights rejections then and not opportunities. So it's programmable, and you can train it through repetition, visualization, language, and emotion. So this is how to use it deliberately. Clarify your intention. Repeat affirmations and visualizations because it learns through repetition and emotion. What you imagine, it begins to search for. Write down what you want to notice, e.g. people who value my work, signs I'm on the right path, ideas for my next offering. And then guard your focus because your RAS doesn't care if it's positive or negative, only that you give it attention. I just think that's fantastic. But back to this book. In the book, there's a chapter called Tell Your Body What to Do. Sounds like my kind of advice. Just so you know that I'm not the only person suggesting you talk to your body. The brain's ability to instruct the body to achieve incredible outcomes is quite well researched and documented. The events I'm going to tell you about happened to this couple, Barbara and Alan. Alan had had prostate cancer. In the face of almost impossible odds, he and Barb decided to have children. He was in his 50s and had almost no viable sperm because of radiation treatment for cancer. Barb was in her 40s, which is medically geriatric in terms of conception. Alan also had had a vasectomy. Anyway, they had lots of medical intervention, IVF and operations. But the interesting part of this is what Barb did to conceive. This couple made a decision to shut out any negative talk and to surround themselves only with people who supported their intention to make a baby despite the odds. This is what Barb said. I named our little girl embryo Bella. She was successfully unfrozen and implanted in me. I spoke to her non-stop and told her what to do to attach herself to my womb and to be positive that I would meet her soon. I visualized every cell in my body and gave them all clear instructions. To everyone's amazement, Bella attached herself to my womb. I passed all the critical early pregnancy tests for an older woman, and 9 months later, Bella was born. This was actually the second child born to this couple dealing with these tiny odds. These days, I know it's accepted practice for women who are wanting to conceive to be very circumspect about keeping quiet until the baby's well established and not to say anything until the first trimester is under their belt, so to speak. It's a fearful time for many women. But my training as an RTT therapist, that's Rapid Transformational Therapy, says exactly the opposite, as does my belief in our power as individuals to create a reality we choose rather than one we just accept. I love the story because it's a personal account of just how it's possible to change an outcome by the way you speak to your body. This goes for health and it goes for conception. It goes for everything we're trying to do, every dream we have, every desire we have for something better than what we're currently experiencing. If you want to have a baby, then speak to your body and get it ready for it. We won't go into that now, but if you want more information on how to do that, I highly recommend Marissa Peer's book. She's the founder of the therapy I practice. And the book is called Trying to Get Pregnant and Succeeding. She's helped many women to do this. If you haven't felt bold enough, try talking to your body, because what have you got to lose? I do it all the time for any little thing that pops up that looks like it might be interfering with my concept of perfect health for me. You can do it for youthfulness. You can do it for energy. You can do it for sleep. Try it. Tell your body it doesn't rule you unless you abdicate your privilege to it. You're designed to rule your body. I can't tiptoe around this. I believe it and I do it, so I know it works. It so upsets me to see people succumbing to limitation and sickness and worse just because they don't know how to use their amazing minds to influence their body. I've said goodbye to many people who've gone from this life who've not known they had any power of influence at all over their health. Wishing and hoping will not do it. We need to step back into our own abilities and right to be in control of our minds and our bodies. Julie, whether the issue is a little one or a big one makes no difference because the principle is the same. You can heal something small and you can heal something big. You just have to know how to manage the process. The principle is the same, whatever the issue. Our next question today is from John. He says simply, how do you know if you love someone? And then how do you make it last? Now, this is my take, slight adjustment here, to something I read recently. If you love someone because they love you, is it empathy? If you love someone because of their looks, is it vanity? If you love someone for their money, is it laziness? If you love someone for their kindness, is it friendship? If you can't pinpoint why you love someone, it probably is love. It's very easy to love someone who loves you first. It's a response. But you need to ask yourself, is that enough? If your love is in response to someone's love for you, what about your love for them? How are you going to generate that when the going gets tough? It's just something to consider. If you love someone because of their looks, I can tell you now it's not enough. Of course they have to appeal to you, but it's worth considering. But is it worth basing a future on? Ask yourself, would they have that same appeal if you were blind? Did you ever see that movie Shallow Hal? That just is all exactly around that. If you love someone just for money, is that because you're abdicating responsibility for looking after yourself financially? What do they say? A man is not a financial plan. If you love someone for their kindness, people have said that to me, that they get together for companionship. And I don't deny the value of that, but all I can say is if you just want a companion, perhaps you should consider a dog. When you love someone and you don't really know why, when you can't pinpoint it, then you know you're probably in the deep end. Whatever you might identify as your primary reason for loving somebody, you must then ask yourself the questions that will impact the rest of your life, such as, have they got their past sorted? Do not allow someone to come into your life dragging their unaddressed baggage with them. They must sort that stuff before they connect fully with you. Get the monkeys off their backs. Their burdens, they are the stuff that goes with unsorted previous relationship junk. If they don't do that, then they don't care enough about you to be making a clean, clear future with you. Don't let them bring issues with them because they will imprint on your life for sure. And of course, as always, you must offer them the same. Sort any rubbish from your past. So that's the past. We'll get to the present in a minute, but let's skip to the future. Look at that person and say to yourself, do I want to walk into old age with them? Unconditionally and absolutely, whatever that might bring. Also, look at who they plan to be, meaning what do they want to have in life? Who do they expect to be? What are their ambitions, aspirations, plans for the future? If you're a person with exciting future plans for growth and you're considering connecting with somebody who's just happy where they are without any kind of change or improvement or growth, well, how's that going to work? Not very productively or harmoniously, I would say. It goes either way for men or for women. I've heard of men who step into something bigger than they had, but their wives didn't want that. They don't care and they don't support them or fit with them. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. You need to be in balance on this one. So, John, if your heart goes pitter-pat, ask yourself, what makes you think you love this person? ask yourself, can you see yourself with them into the future? Then ask every question of them that you can think you might need to know. The more conversations you have early on, the cleverer you are and the more likely you are to make a right choice. And of course, in the end, only time will tell. Was it love? Was it the kind that lasts the distance? Did you make a good choice? My personal philosophy is that if you think you can live without them, then you should. But then we're all different. Some people just want a loving, companionable partner, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that if it satisfies you. If you're going to take on another person for life, it's a really good thing if you know yourself well, who you are, what you need, what you can compromise on, and what you can't or won't. Those are your non-negotiables. Make sure that you've ticked them off and find out what your prospective mate's non-negotiables are as well. So that covers the past and the future. And I think if you deal with those, the present will take care of itself. Once someone has fallen under your spell, there's a great piece of advice, John, to keep them there for life. I read this recently. If you treat your other person as though you were still dating, you'll stay married, and I suspect quite happily. Getting lazy with someone else is a surefire way for them to think you don't care enough to be bothered. We can't live with another person by default successfully, treating them like a placeholder. We have a responsibility to contribute to their happiness, and if we aren't prepared to continue to do that, then we don't deserve them. Here's a bit of light entertainment for you. I came across this online. This chap was looking for the right woman, and he got over 10,000 views for this video he made. You're going to love this. He says, "The type of woman I'm looking for has to have a car. It's a very important requirement because I don't have a car, so you can't have two people that don't have a car. We will just be walking everywhere. And summer has started already, so the weather is getting very hot. We need a vehicle. Also, no rental. I don't want anybody that's renting anywhere because I can't be renting, and she also will be renting, and so she has to have her own house so we can move in together. Money. She has to have money too because you can't have two people that don't have money. That way she could help me to invest some of her money. Locations. I don't want any cold locations, so nobody apply from Russia or Canada. Please don't email me from Canada. I only want tropical places. I haven't decided if this man was very funny or insanely deluded. I do wish him luck. He'll be a fine catch for some woman." Now, our third question today. The subject of fear came up the other day, and Julian said, "I'm so afraid of, well, everything. What might happen? How the prospect of change makes me feel. I feel immobilized by fear. Sometimes I don't even move because I can't accept anything new. I'm so kind of scared of it. I can see I'm wasting my life. How can I get beyond that?" I was watching a movie recently, and there was a line in it that I was absolutely captivated by. It was, "Fear shuts most people down, but I've watched you, fear wakes you up." Wow, I didn't know what that meant, but I decided to have a look into it. Is it possible that we can make friends with fear? Can we choose to relate to it differently? Fear triggers a fight, flight, or freeze in response in many of us. Fear is about paralysis. People back away or avoid. It interrupts flow, confidence, creativity. If you allow fear to dominate you, you stop trusting yourself. You stop trusting life or others. It's a shutdown mechanism. Protect yourself, retreat from risk, stay safe. But safety often comes at the risk of growth and your potential. So for some people, fear wakes them up. What does it actually mean? It might highlight others, not as a stop signal, but as a be aware signal. Pay attention. Something is happening that's real. This is where the stakes matter. This is where you come alive. These kinds of people see fear as a catalyst, not a cage, a signpost that says you're on the edge of something exciting and new. It gives you clarity and a moment where everything sharpens and just clarifies for you. Instead of fear shutting you down, it can activate your courage, creativity, and alertness. We always need to begin with how we see ourselves. The stronger we are in ourselves, the less we fear things. We are the ultimate filter for every perspective we hold. For some, fear translates to excitement and opportunity. The stronger you are, the more confident in yourself, the less you fear anything or anyone. So what's in your chat to yourself around fear? Stop saying, "I'm fearful." Never ever say that again. What did they say? Tell yourself a better lie until that lie becomes your new truth. Whether you can believe it or not doesn't matter. Stop those words coming out of your mouth. Decide what you will tell yourself instead. Fix on that and repeat it. "I am fearless." That'll do it. Can you feel the strength in that? "I am fearless." Now, if that's too much of a leap, try this. "Every day and in every way, I am becoming more and more fearless." That's a bit softer, but it's still powerful, and it still puts you into the process of becoming more fearless. Sometimes it's fun to have a chat with yourself. Maybe the fearful version of you versus the fearless one. Give yourself a fearless pep talk. Listen to this from a wise man with just the odd tweak from me. "The subconscious mind is man's faithful servant. One must be careful to give it the right orders. Man has ever a silent listener at his side." I call it our genie. "Every thought, every word is impressed upon his subconscious mind and carried out in amazing detail. It's like a singer making a record. Every note and tone of the singer's voice is registered. Even if he coughs or hesitates, it's registered." So, let us break all the old bad records in the subconscious mind, the records of our lives which we do not wish to keep, and let's make new and beautiful ones. Speak the words you choose with power and conviction. End quote. Julian, always hold in your mind the picture of success that you want. If it's best expressed in you in a cape on the top of a tall building being utterly fearless, fix that in your mind. Or getting on a plane somewhere new that's made you unsure before. Or asking someone out. Or changing your job. Once you have a fearless picture or scene, tell yourself that story. Don't let anyone sway you. Don't undo what you want by your words. Reinforce what you want by the story you tell. You may not become fearless overnight, Julian, but if you do this, you most certainly will be putting yourself on the road to becoming fearless. Now, our last question today is simple. Why do I keep attracting unavailable people? This comes from someone we'll call Joy. Joy says, "Why do I keep attracting people who don't fully choose me, emotionally unavailable, still in love with their ex, scared of commitment? What am I doing wrong?" Joy, many people find themselves in what feels like a cycle of being partially chosen, of being kept close but not truly scooped up. I'm going to go straight in here. Let me offer this as gently as I can, but it has the ring of truth. We don't get what we want, we get what we are. Or more precisely, we get what we assume ourselves to be. So if we assume, even unconsciously, that love is uncertain, or that we are someone who must wait to be picked, or that affection is inconsistent, or that we must somehow be good enough to be chosen, the world will faithfully reflect that back to us. That's why girls keep dating the wrong boys. Not because it's fair or right, but because it's how we're resonating. It's what we're inhabiting in a way. joy, have you assumed the role of one who's waiting to be loved? This can happen when early in life we learned to earn love, maybe, to wait for it, to win it. And so the feeling of being partially loved becomes familiar or conditionally loved. Familiar feels safe. Even if it's painful, it feels like who we are. Here's what I want you to try. Instead of focusing on changing who you attract, change who you are in love. Become the version of you who knows deeply that she is chosen, who assumes that she is the prize, not because she's perfect or overgiving or endlessly patient or puts up with stuff, but because she is herself and that's enough. Close your eyes and imagine this version of you, adored, valued, claimed, not waiting, not proving, just radiant and magnetic. Now live from that place. Walk into your relationship as if you already are the one who's cherished. Speak to her, dress as her, set boundaries like her, make choices like her. You don't have to find someone different. You just have to be someone different. And the world, as it always does, will reflect your new state back to you. Once I worked with a woman who kept drawing in men who weren't ready. And do you know what changed everything for her? She stopped asking if they were ready and started asking if she was ready to stop performing, stop hoping, stop bargaining, tiptoeing even. She chose to become unavailable for emotional crumbs. That shift, internal, seemingly subtle but incredibly powerful, changed the kind of man who showed up. This is not about perfection, it's about decision. Once you decide you're no longer the person who has to wait, you're the one who's already there. I don't think we need to say more, Joy. Well, that was our last question today. Please send in anything you want to ask or solve to admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz or to me at margotunlimited.com under the contact tab, Margot with a T. We have some questions next time coming up about how to deal with anger and guilt in another episode soon. So do join me again. And thank you for your fine company today. Let's finish with what the universe has to say to us. This is the word. You are a powerful being, fully connected to the source of all. Never doubt it. Never waver. Just declare what is yours. Call it, summon it, require it, and expect it. Do that. That's all you need to do. Thank you.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.